Bible says unto them which believe, he is precious. Boy, I was thinking about that as we sang that word, so precious. That song, it's 456, that so precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. He's so precious to me. He's so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. Boy, that song, sometimes we're selfish and we're like, that song didn't stir up my flesh at all. That song didn't do anything for me. All it did was leave me thinking about him and how precious he is. Unfortunately, our appetite sometimes is in the wrong place. If a song leaves you in awe of God and thinking about his preciousness, it did its job. He's so precious. Let's turn to the book of Philemon. Book of Philemon. This concludes our series today. We have looked at the different main characters in Philemon. We saw a grieved master, Philemon. And that, of course, is a picture of God the Father. He was a gracious master. He was a kind master. The Bible, we'll read the book of Philemon again, but it says how kind and how he enriched others with his kindness. He was a grieved master. And then the second part was a guilty man, Onesimus, a picture of all of us. We were all guilty. We've all grieved the master. Every single one of us have offended our Creator. And then today we come to a gracious mediator, someone that comes in between and takes the offender and the offended and brings reconciliation, brings them together. So yes, we saw a grieved master, Philemon, a picture of the Father, a guilty man, Onesimus, that was every single one of us, a picture of you and I. And then today we come to a gracious mediator. Paul brings these two together in the book of Philemon. And of course, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus who brings us, the offenders, to the offended and reconciliation if we'll let him. So today, pictures of salvation in Philemon, part 3 of 3, a gracious mediator, Paul, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may it be that he is so precious to us. Father, I do ask that you be with us as we look at these scriptures. Lord, we've had so much fun already. Oh, what a testimony, Lord. And then the music has been so wonderful. Lord, I pray that as we look in the Word, Lord, our hearts will be stirred at the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. And maybe someone here today has not availed themselves of your work of mediation, or the work of the Lord Jesus in reconciliation. Lord, I pray that today they might come to you in salvation. Lord, as far as this audience that's here today, every one of us, Lord, I pray that Christ would be made much of, lifted up in the preciousness of who he is and what he's done for us. Lord, none of us would walk out of this room having missed it. Oh, meet with us this morning. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's read Philemon, and then we'll look at Jesus, the gracious mediator, and Paul, the one who pictures him. All right, so Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, unto the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, unto the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So Paul to Philemon. Hearing of thy love. So it sounds like Philemon, a wonderful guy. We read about that. We studied that a little while ago. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. This Philemon was one to refresh the bowels of the saints, and it brought great joy and consolation to Paul. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee. So we looked at Onesimus not too long ago, but now we look at Paul. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. We're looking at Paul and a picture of the Lord Jesus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So he's building him up. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. Reminds us of Jesus, doesn't it? Speaking to his Father, without thy mind would I do nothing. All that I do to please the Father. Here is Paul speaking to Philemon. Without thy mind would I do nothing, that in thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now therefore, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou therefore count a partner, receive him as myself. What a mediator. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. What a mediator. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also in lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow prisoners. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. Boy, Paul, a picture of the Lord Jesus, the mediator, bringing the offender and the offended to a place of peace. Five things about Paul today. Paul was a peacemaker. One, to come along and smooth the way between the offended and the offender, a mediator. Secondly, Paul wrote a parchment. He wrote a letter that Onesimus could carry with him. Oh, can you imagine when Philemon would have seen Onesimus coming? Philemon, the offended, and Onesimus, the one who had wronged him and stolen from him. He shows up, and Philemon might have been looking at Onesimus. And can you just see Onesimus say, listen, before you say anything, I have a letter with me. Would you read it? This changes everything. And that's you and I. We can come bearing the letter that our mediator brings to us. And we can go and we can stand before the Father and say, I have no right to stand before you, but I have a letter, and this changes everything. Paul wrote a parchment, a letter that he could carry back. Paul offered a pledge. He says, what the guilty party owes, put it on my account. I will pay. Paul made a plea. He said, receive him forever. And Paul laid out a partnership. He says, however you view me, I want you to view him the same way. Let's look at these things as we think about how precious is the Lord Jesus. Paul was a peacemaker, one to come and smooth out the way between the offended and the offender. He said there in verse 11, which in time past was to the unprofitable. Does that remind you of us? There was a time we were unprofitable, worthless. He valued us when we had no value. He loved us when we were unlovely. And Paul says, listen, Onesimus was to thee in times past unprofitable, but things have changed, but now profitable to thee and to me. What a blessing. I value him already, and I know that you will value him too, because he has become valuable because of my ministry to him. Boy, peacemakers are wonderful, aren't they? Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus is the great peacemaker. Paul was a peacemaker, and believers who are right with God seek to be peacemakers, not setting people at odds with one another. It's a fun human pastime down here to let this mouth fly free and cause this person to hate this person. It's a very human thing to do, but when a human gets saved, he has a different thing to occupy his time. To be a peacemaker. Paul said in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, but the terms. What Onesimus was guilty of violating. The terms of the law seemed so uncompromising. But praise the Lord, Onesimus had one, a mediator to come between. There in the book of Job was in agony. He was in agony. And he said this in Job 9:33, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. He sought for a daysman, somebody to go between and help to figure things out. Dr. Sorensen said this about this. The point Job is making is he had no earthly referee to adjudicate his grievance. He felt he could not turn to heaven or to earth for help. He felt alone in his troubles, and he sought for one to mediate, one that could lay his hand on both. Oh, Onesimus, I can't go back to Philemon, but he had a mediator, someone that could lay his hand on Philemon and lay his hand on Onesimus and bring them back together. Neither is there any daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us both. A mediator, one who truly wanted the best for both parties involved. I don't know, sometimes you wonder when somebody comes along if I'm here to mediate, and you wonder if they really are. You know, the roof blows off your house and the insurance company sends someone to mediate. You know, when it was the money coming out of your pocket, the premiums, they're like, oh, your house is wonderful, valued way up here. And so your premiums should only reflect the value of your wonderful home. And you're like, huh. Okay, that's money coming. But then when they come and they're like looking at your roof, and you're like, how old was that roof? I see the value way down here. Now that the money is coming out of the insurance company's pocket. And you think, he's here to mediate, adjudicate. But who is he really out for the benefit of? And I know sometimes there'll be third-party people that come in that's not related to either side. I think with the home appraisal businesses, banks aren't allowed to get their own appraisers anymore, so that they're not tempted to fudge whatever number is necessary for the whatever. They got to get a third party, someone that's independent. Well, our mediator in God, he's not just independent and aloof. He's very much invested, wanting the very best for both parties involved, and that's you and the Father up in heaven. He is so precious. We are not alone. Job felt like he was alone, and he learned better. He wasn't alone. And you and I aren't alone. When we cry out, oh, that I had a daysman betwixt me and thee that could lay his hand on both. And then the words of the scripture say in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What Paul was asking for was revolutionary. It was one thing to set a slave free, possibly. Maybe a slave that had been amazingly loyal for an amazing amount of time. Maybe that would be a servant you would set free. But to forgive an Onesimus that had been disloyal and disobedient, had stolen, that was going to be unheard of. But that's exactly what Paul was suggesting. That reminds us of us. Boy, the law allowed for awful things to be done to Onesimus. Torture all the way up to execution. And so too, the law that we have broken allow awful things to be done to us. We're the sinners. God made it clear in the Garden of Eden when he said, Adam, Eve, you don't eat from that tree, and if you do, thou shalt surely die. He was so clear. The law was broken. And the law allows for and calls for awful things when it is broken. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. But what a mediator Onesimus had in Paul. What a mediator we have in Jesus. Romans 5:1 reminds us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And a few verses later in Romans 5, again, what did we say? Maybe a faithful servant, maybe a loyal servant, maybe a servant that had done wonderful things. Maybe that one you could forgive and you could release the debt. But Onesimus was no such servant. And you and I, we were unlovely and he loved us. Later on, we read Romans 5:1, but a few verses later, Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But that wasn't us. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Onesimus was going to have to throw himself at the mercy of Philemon. But oh, how wonderful Onesimus, when he looked at the pages of Scripture and he saw how Paul laid out how Philemon was such a gracious one. One that loved to be kind to others. And one that longed to be a help. And he said, I know that you're going to want to do what I'm laying out in this letter. And even more exceeding abundantly than even the things that I'm laying out in these words. But still, Onesimus must have been worried. Doing the right thing isn't always easy. I wonder if Onesimus is looking at Paul and saying, hey, it's doing the right thing. It's hard, and I don't know if I'm up to it. And there's Paul in his chains saying, yeah, you tell me about it. Doing the right thing is difficult sometimes. Paul didn't have to be in chains, did he? He was so educated, and he could have had a life of wealth and a life of comfort, but he wanted to live the life that God had for him. He, as a picture of the Lord Jesus, was going to go through difficulty that would allow him to be in the very place where he could win an Onesimus to the Lord, going through those times of difficulty. And you'd say, Paul, what a difficult life you've had. And he would say, oh, the difficulty's worth it, that I may help people be right with the Father, be right with the Master. Boy, even Paul, he didn't have to have this life of turmoil. He could have just lived for himself comfortably with wealth. There was one time when he could have paid some money and bribed somebody and got out, but That wasn't what he was here for, to get out of things. Listen to this in Acts 24, verses 25 and 26. He reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. He was hoping Paul would pay a little bribe and he would free him. But that wasn't what Paul was all about. Paul could have paid a bribe to get away from the imprisonment and all the pain and trouble, but it was worth it to him to be pleasing to his Lord. And that's how Jesus was. He didn't have to go through the pain of the cross. But without the cross, you and I would have been sunk. The pain was worth it to him to please his Father. The pain was worth it to him to provide salvation for you and me. Paul, you've gone through some turmoil. Oh, it's worth it. Onesimus, son, begotten in my bonds, you make it worth it. What a mediator. Secondly, so Paul was a peacemaker. Secondly, Paul wrote a parchment, a letter, laying out the terms of reconciliation. Onesimus was going to be able to go back to Philemon with something in hand and say, "Listen, I have something with me, and what it contains changes everything." Paul wrote it. Onesimus honored it, trusted in the value of it, and carried it back to Philemon. Philemon received it and agreed to the terms. Presumably, Paul wrote that he believed he would, and according to tradition, he did. And this Bible, that's our Philemon. This is our letter of Philemon. Jesus being the living word and the Bible being the written word. The Father has already agreed to the terms in this book, and all that is left is for us, the guilty Onesimuses, to honor it, place value on what it says, and obey it. Boy, to open this book and find out what the gospel says about going to heaven. Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is laid out in this book, how we can have a home in heaven, but you have to honor what it says. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 through 9 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." If Onesimus was going to be right with his master, he's going to have to honor the letter and carry it with him back there, valuing the contents and trusting in the power of the words in the letter he carried. Onesimus could only come to the master based on the letter he carried and the terms it laid out. And we can only come to the Father trusting the letter that he gave to us in the Bible and the truths that it contains about who Jesus is and how much we need him. Isaac Watts wrote this, "Laden with guilt and full of fears, I fly to thee, my Lord, and not a glimpse of hope appears but in thy written word. The volume of my Father's grace does all my griefs assuage. Here I behold my Savior's face almost in every page. This is the field where hidden lies the pearl of price unknown. That merchant is divinely wise who makes that pearl his own. Here consecrated waters flow to quench my thirst of sin. Here the fair tree of knowledge grows. No danger dwells therein. This is the judge that ends the strife where wit and reason fail, my guide to everlasting life through all this gloomy veil. Oh, may thy counsels, mighty God, my roving feet command, nor I forsake the happy road that leads to thy right hand. Paul was a peacemaker. Paul wrote a parchment. Thirdly, Paul offered a pledge. What he owes, put that on my account. A promise to pay. There in Philemon 1, verses 18, the beginning of verse 19, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee thought, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay. That Greek word, elegeo, found only one other place in the New Testament, Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Reckon his debt to my account. Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham's faith and how that it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was reckoned to his account. There was another account that had the righteousness. And it was reckoned to be placed instead on the account of Abraham from the account of the Lord Jesus. Onesimus had certainly invoked the wrath of the law by his wicked behavior, and that debt had to be imputed to someone's account. And Paul comes and says, put that on my account. Charge that to me. I'll take full responsibility for his debt. I will repay. So too our precious Redeemer took our debt and shame and paid it all. The law's debt was not ignored. It was honorably discharged, paid in full by the shed blood of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary's Hill. No more debt. God cannot, he will not demand the payment twice. First at his own hand and then again at mine. My brother-in-law down there. We have a family phone plan. And I said, well, I'm going to pay him for my part of the family phone plan, so we got our bank accounts linked. And he was like, I'm not sure I trust him that much, because with bank accounts linked, I mean, he could transfer in, he could transfer out the linked bank accounts. So I send that money over, and I don't think I've ever taken anything out. But Jesus died on the cross, and he linked his account to yours. In his account is the full payment for the price of your sin. But there it stays until by faith we go to him recognizing what's already in my account. My account is full of sin and filth and rebellion. And when I look in the words of this book and find that Christ has the full payment and why I need his full payment, I go to him and I say, Lord Jesus, oh Father, God up in heaven, thank you for sending Christ. Christ Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, and there in your account is the full pardon, the full payment for my sin debt. I'm trusting you, oh God. And not only does he put the payment on my account, but he takes the filth from mine and draws it into his. That's what happened when he died on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He became sin for us. He became my sin. He drew my sin on himself, and he paid that price. who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made the righteousness, that he would impute to my account the righteousness that is from him alone. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. My account full of debt and rebellion. Boy, the day I understood the gospel and I prayed to the Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You died for me. My sin was going to take me to an eternal place of torment, everlasting fire like we read about there in Thessalonians. But I cried out and asked the Lord to save me, wash my sin away. And on that day, the sin was removed from my account and his righteousness was placed there instead. And as beautiful as what Paul says here, it's even more beautiful when Jesus says, I'm not just going to pay, but I am the very payment. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness. Watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Lord, and when before thy throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Paul was a peacemaker, a picture of Jesus, the great peacemaker. He wrote a parchment, a picture of the letter that we get to enjoy, and this changes everything. Paul offered a pledge. What he owes, I will pay. But Paul made a plea. Paul asked Philemon to receive him. To receive him. Receive him forever. There in Philemon 1:12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels. And then again in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. A plea from Paul, forever. What a beautiful word when you're on the right side of that word forever. To enter eternity without Christ is to be lost forever. But to enter eternity with Christ is to enter and be blessed again forever, to be forever with the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, forever blessed. Onesimus had been won to salvation through Paul, and Paul sends him he says, Philemon, based on your relationship with me, will you receive him? All that the Father hath given me, John 6:37, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Paul made a plea, but even more than just a plea, he didn't just say receive him, but he called for a partnership. He said, receive him as myself. So whatever value you place on me, would you place the same value on him? Unbelievable. But that's what Paul is asking. And then that's what we see the Bible teaches about our relationship with the Father. This blows me away. Paul said this in verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. I want you to extend the same relationship to him that you and I enjoy. The word partner is koinonos, translated as companion in Hebrews 10:33, or partaker in 1 Peter 5:1 and 2 Peter 1:4. But listen to what we enjoy in salvation. If thou therefore count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. The Bible says this in Romans 8, 16 through 17. The Spirit also bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That blows me away. Christ doesn't just say receive him, but receive him as a joint heir with me. Paul, in effect, is writing, look, Philemon, the same relationship exists between Onesimus and me that exists between you and me. The same relationship exists between me and the Father in heaven that exists between you and the Father in heaven. We are all one. This is how I want you to regard him and treat him now and forever. Boy, the blessed cross of Christ changes the human relationships. Galatians 3, verses 27 through 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. This whole epistle is a plea. Paul stood between the wronged Philemon and the newly converted Onesimus and brought them together in a new family relationship of love and life. Jesus talked about it a little bit when he talked to Mary Magdalene there in John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Through the work of our gracious mediator, we with him become partakers of the divine nature in the coming glory. God has received us as he received his own beloved Son. God received us as he has received his own beloved Son. He sees us in him, there being no difference. Listen to Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What a mediator. When Christ died on the cross, his account was linked with yours. The payment for your sin debt lies ready to be transferred. Have you by faith trusted in the gospel? Believing who Jesus Christ is and why he came, because you and I do not deserve heaven. Our sins make us worthy of hell, but Christ paid that debt. And in humility, oh Lord Jesus, I'm trusting and I'm thanking you for what you did on the cross. You were sinless. You, the very Son of God and God the Son, you died in my place. You became sin for me. You became poor that I might be rich. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting in what you did. I repent of my sin. Thank you. I'm trusting you to be my Lord and Savior. And I know that I have access to the Father only because of you. No man cometh unto the Father except by the Lord Jesus. How about the rest of us? I think there's a lot of people in here that are saved already. according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Are you living up to the family you've joined? You've joined the family. Are you living like it? Oh, the beauty of what's laid out in the book of Philemon. Paul was a peacemaker. The Lord Jesus, the great mediator, the one mediator between God and men. Paul wrote a parchment. Boy, it changes everything. How much are you in this book? If it really changes everything, how much are you in this book? He offered a pledge. I will repay, but the Lord Jesus, he says, I will be the payment. He made a plea, receive him forever. And he laid out a partnership. I want him to be a joint heir with me. I tell you, that should blow you away. And we should live blown away every day for the rest of our life. Oh God, you are so precious to me. Lord, I do pray that you